You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, the man is right. You are officially live here on LA Talk Radio, and you're also on the couch here with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen, with yet but another wonderful, informative, helpful show. And one of my favorite guests is here, as you can see him right now on the split screen, Dr. Leonard Felder. And he has been in our studios. He's been on the show several times with many of his wonderful books. Really, they inspire you all. And I know my regular listeners and viewers, you know Dr. Felder. So welcome to the show.
Good to talk with you.
Always.
It's almost like being in person, but not quite.
Exactly. Almost. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, I always really appreciate you coming on the show because, you know, it's just like we have such great conversations and yet you always help people out. And I always get great feedback from viewers and listeners. And by the way, guys, in case you want to reach out, it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Love to hear your comments or questions, anything you might have to say or anything at all. Really, we're open to that, you know. We're talking about Dr. Felder's latest book today. It's called Keeping Your Heart Open. Wow, what a concept. And of course, down here it says how to overcome the things that make us numb, cynical, or burned out. Leonard, were you like reading my mind? Are you're psychic, right? You are, aren't you?
Sometimes.
I know.
I don't know about this one. What did I read?
No, you wow. I mean, this jumped out at me when your books are always relevant to me. Always. I love them and to everyone else in helping them. But when I went numb, yep. Cynical, burned out. Wow. That appeals so much to me and so many of my patients who've expressed to me. It's like, I feel so just drained from life and it's really tough. And of course, these past couple of years have been tough on us all. Coping with our own fears and the fears of our loved ones becoming sick and just hearing the news and, you know, how can we become emotionally available and financial issues, being laid off, having to live with our families and our children 24/7 in the same environment.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
No.
When people moved out, they moved out for a reason. And when they moved back in, they said, oh my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you're hearing a lot of this as well, but you know, I just loved your book because most readers can really identify with everything you're touching on. And it's not only because of the last couple of years and everything we've had to deal with, but just life in general, your, you know, wonderful psychological advice and wisdom that you've had for so long. It's just, you know, you're sharing a lot of that in this book. And also we're going to talk about some of the other books that are available for, you know, listeners and viewers to check out. Let me just give you a little intro here because I just kind of went on with that. But Dr. Leonard Felder is a licensed psychologist and the author of 15 books. Guys, 15. Where do you find the time? You are so busy.
People are asleep in my house between 7 and 9 a.m. and that's a quiet time for writing. And if you write 4 pages a day, books get done.
Oh, that's beautifully said. I love that. And the books have been mainly on Jewish spirituality and personal growth, and they've sold over 1 million copies, translated into 15 languages. And this book, I know, is going to be translated into many, many, many languages, if it hasn't already. I mean, really, it's amazing. So here's some of the books that we've talked about on the show here. We See It So Differently. The Dilemma of the 21st Century Male. Love that one. Choosing Each Day Between Retro and Forward. Also, More Fully Alive. The 10 Challenges. Here I Am. Wake Up or Break Up. Yeah, I've shared that with a lot of my clients. Making Peace with Your Parents. That one too. 7 Prayers That Can Change Your Life. And When Difficult Relatives Happen to Good People. Oh, boy. Anyway, you can check him out, Leonard Felder, and he is a PhD, of course, psychologist, and he's written articles for numerous magazines, newspapers, blogs, websites, research publications. He's appeared on over 150 radio and TV programs, including, you've seen him on the Today Show on NBC, also Oprah's show, CNN News, CBS The Morning Show, National Public Radio, on the BBC in London, Canada AM, ABC Australia, all over the world. And of course, he's been involved and active in several volunteer organizations. As I said before we really went live, you know, I could go on about your bio for about half an hour here, but needless to say, you're an amazing soul. And thank you for being here and for helping us all out.
Thank you. And thank you for making room for lots of people to share.
So let's talk about, let's begin. We're all burnt out. We kind of know some of the causes, but can you elaborate on what are some of these causes that really make us withdraw and shut down from one another and just becoming overwhelmed?
Well, I have a lot of empathy for our adrenal glands. It's like there's been so many things that stir the adrenals up, and there's been so many crises we've been handling, and so much uncertainty, and so much vigilance to stay safe and to deal with near misses and to actual, you know, COVID outbreaks among people we know. I mean, there's so much that causes the adrenal. So when someone at a restaurant is rude to you, or when someone calls you at the wrong moment, or when one of your kids or your loved one wants something and you're really tapped out, there's a short fuse that comes from no more adrenals. I mean, the adrenals are so overcooked.
Right?
You know? So how are you going to still stay mindful and still stay compassionate and still not be a jerk and not create some stuff for your kid to go to therapy with for the rest of their life? You know, it's like you're, you know, it's as though the videotape is on and here's your toughest moment. Your adrenals are gone and somebody's testing you. And oh my gosh, which side is going to come out, Mr. Ugly or the person who's passionate?
No, exactly. That makes so much sense. And so it's really, you know, this book is really teaching us how to keep your heart open. And what does that mean? How would you best describe that, Dr. Felder?
Well, there's two ways that I can listen to my wife or to my daughter. I can listen like this, which is the point, cut to the chase.
Yeah,
heard this already, did it? You know, that guy is not going to get a passing grade in my family. So the other way to listen is where you say to yourself, you know, I've got to keep my heart open here. This is an important person in my life, or two of the most important people in my life. And they have something they want to tell me. Yeah, and it's okay. They've already told me this thing 5,000 times, but they want to tell me today, and they really want my good listening. And what's interesting, I have a daughter who's autistic. So autistic people are not supposed to be able to read nonverbal cues. That's nonsense. My daughter will say to me, "Dad, you're using that soft therapist voice right now, but I can tell you're impatient and you're pissed. You need to take a breath." And I think, wow, I am so busted. I am so busted. I thought that I was pulling a fast one and that my heart was open, but my kid knows, no, you're not fully present yet. And I'm lucky. I'm lucky that both my wife and my daughter will give me a do-over at that moment. They'll say, try that one again without the impatient tone of voice. You know, and I go, thank you for giving me two chances, you know, because it could have been a deal-breaker if they hadn't given me the second chance.
Exactly. That's so cute. I love that they're able to share with you. And you express that later in your book about really talking about people who we can trust in our lives, our friends and family, to say, you know, what characteristics do you see in me that are, you know, maybe the best, not the best, or that I could improve on, you know?
Right. What are the moments where you can feel I'm not fully I don't even know it, because I don't know when I'm impatient. I think that I'm doing the best I can and it's good to be good enough. But my partner or my child or some of the people that I work with, they're able to say, hey, do you need a moment? Because you need to just breathe and center. Because I can be a really good listener with a big open heart, but not when I'm edgy or in a hurry or I want this to be over with in 10 seconds.
Right, exactly. Now, that especially when someone is saying the same thing that they say all the time, you know, you just kind of go, okay, here we go. And you're, you know, subconscious, here we go again.
It's different on the 5,000th version than it was on the 4,999th, but it's close. It's close. Yeah. So it's,
right, exactly. And so let's talk about some of the
people say, say live in the now. And in the now, this person's telling you that story that you've heard before, and they really need to be listened to. And that's what the now is happening right now.
It's so true. Oh boy, is that true? It really is. So what are some of the ways that we can experience, or practice some of the spiritual ways of opening up our hearts to other people? What are some of the great ways we can do that? By the way, side note, I loved the practice you suggested each morning when we get up, to go into that. Well, it's a Hebrew meditation, but it also applies to any. It's not religious per se. It's just right. Something that you suggest, which is lovely.
So which one you want first, the morning meditation or the what to do to be spiritual when someone's getting on your nerves or whatever?
Let's talk about the morning meditation, and then we'll do the latter.
So, there's a Jewish version. I'm sure every spiritual tradition has a version of this. And the version is that you wake up and your brain is already cooking with things to do and things that are incomplete and things that you're frustrated about, or you're tired or you're grumpy or whatever, or you're in a hurry or you're late. And in Judaism, there's a prayer that's been said for thousands of years. And in most, whatever your spiritual traditions, find the version. And it goes something like this. May I be open that today my soul is going to have some unique moments of purpose and meaning. Oh. I got to be open to that. Oh. I'm grateful to have a soul. I'm grateful my soul's being renewed for another day. And I want to be open to whatever moments of meaning and purpose are there. If you start the day with that, you're priming the pump that you're going to be a little less edgy, a little more open, a little more compassionate. And it's a traditional prayer, Most people just race through it if they were in a traditional, family or a traditional congregation. Yeah. But if you don't race through it, if you just ask, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to open, to be grateful and to open up my soul, to pay attention? There might be something useful and meaningful today, some moment where you get to be of service. Wow.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. And that is part of the purpose, our purpose in helping and giving. And that's what it's all about, is compassion, really. But back again to your book, keeping your heart open during these difficult times and just times in general, when we hopefully, knock on wood, get through all of this COVID craziness and we're moving along, and a lot of people now are either immune and or it's not that threatening. What are some of the other ways that we can become more spiritual and open up our hearts?
So in every spiritual tradition, there's something about breathing. There's something taking a breath. So I'm breathing right now. I've got a pulse. I hope that everybody listening is also breathing and that they've got a pulse. And what's interesting is that my breathing and my pulse are connected to this big breathing and this big pulse. The universe is breathing. Uh-huh. You can feel it if you go to the ocean. You can feel it if there's winds. You can feel it when you're in nature. You can feel it sometimes, when it's quiet, or if you can witness a sunrise. The universe is breathing and pulsing. Yes. When I was in Hawaii for the first time, I'd never been around a volcano before. And on the Big Island, I walked over the and the earth was breathing. I thought the earth was a parking lot with cement.
Yeah.
But I found out in Hawaii, the earth is a breathing organism. So if my breath is connected to this big breath, and if my pulse is connected to this big pulse of the ocean tides and the moon and all those things, breathing at a moment, like especially a moment when you're stressed or you're late or you're feeling pressure or you're being pulled on from three directions, if I breathe and I say whatever you want to say in your tradition or in my tradition, please connect my breathing to the bigger breathing or to the soul of the universe or to whatever you want to call it, the source of life or the source of compassion. If I can do that connection right at that moment, my heart's definitely open and I've got the going and my brain's going to start working it. Because your brain doesn't work when you're not breathing, when you're holding your breath, when you're tense, when you're in a hurry. Your brain is not as creative, is not as flowing as it is when you're
right.
When you're really connected to the big pulsing universe. That universe has a creative flow you could tap into right at that moment to come up with a solution to whatever your kid's presenting you with.
Mm.
You do it with kindness instead of impatience.
Right. Beautifully said. Beautifully said, Leonard. And, when we can have visualizations with that too, I found, of course, because usually in the morning, it's good to do that, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, but it's, you're still a little bit in that alpha theta brainwave state of just not trying to go into high beta and receive information. And what have I got to do today? If you can do that first thing in the morning and breathe and use whatever tools it is, just knowing how healthy it is to be mindful of breathing. Right. And some and of those ideas of breathing in.
Your intestines will thank you. Your muscles will thank
good
you.
Good energy.
Thank you. They
right.
Like
yes.
And they don't
yes, they do.
That.
And everyone's, no, nor hydration. You know, hydration and breathing, that's beautiful. That's what we need, is to oxygenate. Yeah, thank you. Go for it. Me too. Let's just have a little. Everyone, pick up your water. Tea water here, folks. Not doing coffee. That'll burn your adrenals out right there. So, what are some of the ways you talk about these beyond words moments that I really love in your book? When it, you know, you're talking about opening up. So what are some of the ways we can experience the beyond words moments?
Let's just do a COVID version of it. So, you know, people have been locked up for 16 months and they're looking at the same wall and eating the same food, and it makes you crazy. So my wife and I got creative. Now, she's a cancer survivor and she's got
aww.
A lot of lymph nodes that she gave to Kaiser a few years ago and then put them back. And so,
yeah.
So I have to be really careful. She has to be really careful. But we found that if we got in the car and if we went to the ocean, like usually at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, there was almost nobody there and we wouldn't get, you know, around people and we could take a walk. And the ocean doesn't know about COVID. The ocean is doing the same thing it always does. It comes in, it comes out, it breathes, it's got all these ions, you feel great. So we kept escaping whenever we could to the ocean.
Nice.
And then the other thing we did, you know, you can do this on your own or in a couple. At Staples, they've got those little box things that you can do when you're moving, and the box top has a little like lid on the side. It's got like a little lip. So we would take those two box tops. We would go to a restaurant and have takeout in front of the garbage cans in our favorite little spot in the parking lot with the little thing. And we were like kids dating, you know, at the age of 16 in the front seat of a car, you know,
love it.
So if you have moments of connection with another human being, it might be a phone call, it might be in person, it might be on Zoom or whatever, or FaceTime. And if you have moments where you're connecting with nature, you've just established that you're not trapped, that you're actually able to breathe.
Yes.
And you know, if there's some place in your neighborhood you can walk to. In my neighborhood, there's some steps. There's about 20 steps, about three blocks from where I live.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know those steps.
So I had a broken leg a couple of years ago, and I couldn't walk. And so now every day I'm so grateful that I can walk those steps. I get to the top of those steps. It looks out into the distance, and I feel like we've always called that the top of the world. You know, and if there's some place that you can walk to, it feels like the open space or the sacred place or the top of the world or the place with the view or the place where there's some beautiful nature or some critters running around. Those are the moments where you've just gotten back into awe. You've gotten back into a sense of spiritual. This world is still breathing and thriving and doing well. And it's not just what I see on the news. It's actually, you know, buds are still budding. And one of the fascinating things was how many different plants were doing really, really well because they weren't getting as much smog. It was fascinating to watch what was going on with plants and animals.
Yes, exactly. I have had a particular patient who I'll call Joe. And I always say, how you doing this week? What's going on? Tell me how you doing. He says, well, I woke up and the birds are singing. And I have a new little nest in my tree. And, you know, I'm handing out socks to the homeless people in my neighborhood. And he's just got such a positive spin on what can I do? What can I see? Nature is beautiful. It's thriving. It's the sun is out or it's cloudy, but it feels so good to breathe. You know, there's always a positive spin on that. And I just love that. I mean,
if you're an anxious person and there's lots going on inside your head, if you even give yourself some moments, just a few moments a day or even just once a week, to have those moments where you're noticing the birds, you're noticing the trees, you're noticing some ways to be of service to someone who needs it. Those are the moments where you're a spiritual person, being of service and connecting with the flow of the universe. That's great stuff.
Oh, it is such a great, great, healthy, healing way, you know, of really getting through this time. Keeping Your Heart Open is the name of Leonard Felder's book. Dr. Leonard Felder. It's a beautiful book and it'll help you out. So many people have talked to me about many of the issues that he addresses in this book, about feeling isolated and trying to work out certain things with people in terms of relationships. And of course, it, how to overcome the things that make us numb, feeling cynical and burned out. And, you know, I'm finding this really a lot with a lot of people I work with, family members, friends, and personally as well, you know. And so it's a great read. And if you want more information on it, Leonard, what is the best way that people can find out more about you and get your book besides Amazon?
Amazon's good. You know, if you Google, you'll find lots of stuff. But I, you know, people either through stuff that I write or through stuff that other people write, there's so many ways to reconnect with what's important in your life at a time when everything seems to be imploding. Lots of people have been knocked off track with their goals and knocked off track with their visions. And this is a time where if you really do some of the inner work, you are going to be able to come out. I thought a few months ago we were all coming out, but we're not quite coming out. We're dancing back and forth a little bit right now.
Exactly. Perfectly said. So by the way, guys, again, if you have any questions or comments, I see some of them coming in here on my Gmail, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have questions or comments about what Leonard has to say about his book, and we just shared with you, all these people are saying, where can I get it? So we just shared with you how you can find out more about Dr. Leonard Felder and his book, Keeping Your Heart Open, which is so important. Just a little side note here, I always talk about the importance of heart-brain coherence. And I know you've read the studies with the Institute of Heart Math and all that in Palo Alto. And it is so important for that heart-brain coherence that you talk about in your book. And there are ways and suggestions that you have as well to help people with that. So you also help us learn about how to, you know, utilize some of the physical ways that we can keep our hearts open. And we talked about getting out and, you know, just looking at the ocean and observing nature. And what are some of the other ways that we can help ourselves physically to do that?
You know, there's definitely how you use your breath and how you get exercise and all those things we all know about. But what was interesting, and this next story is a little bit R-rated. Is that okay on your show?
No, I'm sorry. You can't, of course.
So I was in a group of therapists, and we would meet, and we'd talk about our you know, therapy practices. And, you know, we were always giving each other advice and help and examples to become better therapists. And one week, this woman... ...at you, just like, really, you know, goes off on you. Or you're... you know, your spouse or your partner or one of your kids or somebody at a store, somebody's going off at you, somebody from a different political party. so how do you take good care of yourself physically when you're being assaulted verbally by somebody? So people went around the room, lots of people had different things. And there was this one therapist, and this isn't the R-rated one, and he said that he was a martial arts person. He thinks of himself as seaweed. Because the seaweed is grounded. The seaweed goes deep down into the ocean and has like a certain center core grounding and then has lots of flexibility. So he says, I know that at that moment, if I'm seaweed, I'm grounded. No one's really going to take me off my center. And I'm flexible. I can really hear. I can really move. I can really be flexible with whatever's going on. Wow. I can be really there for the other person, but I'm also grounded.
Sure.
That's a cool answer. You know, so I thought sometimes... You know, you can think of yourself as seaweed to be physically centered, even when you're under attack. And somebody else had another explanation. I am an acupressure person on moments like that. I will sometimes be massaging the acupressure points on my fingertips or on my palm. Doesn't even look like I'm doing anything. Nobody can see anything.
Sure.
And I am, you know, boosting the chi in my body so that I'm staying healthy. I've got good flow, even if somebody is going off on me. I can listen to them patiently. I can disarm them by listening with compassion. And then, you know, slowly, eventually they're going to lower their voice and be decent to work with.
Right.
This one woman, this is the R-rated part. She said, well, what I do is whenever someone's yelling at me, whenever someone's being out of control with me, I just sit there and I do my Kegel exercises. So she's flexing. She's flexing the little muscle that says don't pee. It's a muscle that really tightens up parts of your privates. And she's doing that. She's feeling great while
that's
this person
great.
Is yelling at her. And I thought, wow, because this woman, you know, very well-dressed, very proper professional person. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, she's doing her Kegels when people are yelling at her. So I just love that story. So that's in the book, too. That's one of the few.
I love that. And, of course, there's eating healthier you talk about in your book. It's, you know, kind of important to be mindful of that. Right.
But let's talk about that in terms of the numbness.
Taking in too much sugars, carbs, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there's certain foods that if I cheat on those foods, I'm going to pay a price for a couple of days. And even though I'm thin and I'm healthy and I exercise a lot, I am very susceptible. I'm allergic to dairy, wheat, corn, and sugar. You know, and
my goodness. And wow.
I always find good stuff to eat. And I always find a nice meal.
Yeah.
But if I cheat at all on dairy, wheat, corn, and sugar, there's a sluggishness. There's a susceptibility to cold flus. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things that happen. I have to decide, do I really want that? Do I really want? So if you've got some foods that you know are your, do I really want the after of that particular food or drink or substance?
Right.
I don't know if I want that this week. I've got these things I want to do with my life that are meaningful, and I'm under pressure for the COVID and 10,000 other things that are happening. Do I really want that thing that makes me numb? It feels really good when I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And then later, you know, I pay this big price.
Wow. You're kind of lucky in a way that you're allergic to all those things, because your body says, like, you have no choice, Dr. Felder. You know, and other people are just like, oh boy, I get to eat cake tonight, or I'm going to have bagels with some really good shmear this morning. And like, oh God, you know, and it's really important to be aware of it, you know, healthy eating and the greens. And if you all just go on to, and you don't have to be crazy or fanatic or a vegan or whatever that is, it's just being mindful of, you know, carb loading, sugar, which is sugar. Will always kind of make you wonky, and you're when you start to move away from these habits of eating poorly and processed and, you know, saturated fats, things like that, you notice you feel better when you start to just even 3 days of moving away from that kind of thing and, you know, eating a little healthier. So that makes a lot of
different.
Sense.
Everybody's different, and everybody knows sort of those are the things that I like to cheat on, and I pay this price. But you get more conscious about making the choice of, what do I want my week to look like? Do I want it to look like I'm sluggish and I'm out of it? Or do I want it to go well?
Right. And there's nothing wrong, you know, with a nice glass of wine with a meal occasionally. But I find a lot more people are drinking alcohol during COVID now, because it helps them numb out even more and relax and, you know, deal with the family that's all around them, you know, and stressors of being laid off work. And, you know, so being mindful of drinking alcohol as well is something that's really important. Speaking about getting laid off work, let's talk about some of the things that we can deal with in order to keep ourselves sane, worrying about finances and, you know, being stable, a little more stable about, okay, how can I be more creative and find ways to make more income or to support the family or even just feel comfortable within myself financially.
No, that's so important, because a lot of how you feel each day and a lot of what your day, you know, looks like.
Wow.
Do I feel like I'm okay money-wise? Am I not okay money-wise? So when I was working on this book, I thought, you know, I got to put in a chapter about how to be balanced between the part of you that wants to have creative visions and projects that come from the heart and all that good stuff. I don't want the book to be leaning so heavily on, oh, do whatever your heart wants.
Right.
You might be the person who has to pay the bills or pay part of the bills or,
or
you know, do the things around the house to keep things functioning. That's a part of it too. You can't say, well, I'm working on my masterpiece right now and I don't have time to put the dishes in the dishwasher.
That's right.
That doesn't go well with the people you live with. So one of the things that I explore is there's lots of ways to talk to yourself in a loving way to bring about that balance. Not in the way that maybe your parents talk to you or some other ex-spouse or somebody talk to you. But the way that you say to yourself, you know what, there are these two parts of me. There's a part of me that wants financial security and financial enough certainty that I sort of know that the bills are going to be paid by the end of the month. I really need that. I feel better. I'm much more creative when I know that that's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's a part of me that has visions and goals and aspirations and quests that I've always wanted to fulfill and things that I want to explore and do things that are new and different and more risky. And these two parts of you are both wonderful parts of you. They're going to have to learn how to live together inside your head and inside your head. And when you talk, when they talk to each other, they can talk to each other like loving partners or like enemies. And you get to decide how to plug it. So I actually asked people in this chapter to be a couples counselor. And to imagine that on the couch or on the, the love seat in your office are these two sides of you. Mm-hmm. And those two sides of you can have a tone that sounds like, you idiot, I can't believe you're trying to dominate again. Or a tone that says, you know what, we're both justified. We both love, you know, what can come if we're both listened to. If one of us is listened to and is dominating, there's going to be trouble. And if both of us get listened to. So one of the things that happened to me when I was in college, I went to Kenyon College in Ohio, and there was this, scholar in residence who came for a week, and he'd written Pulitzer Prize winning plays. And somebody asked him, how did you write plays and projects that were so from the heart, you know, when you had to pay the bills and make it, like,
right,
what was that like for you? He said it was all about American Airlines. I went, what's he talking about?
What?
Turns out he had a day job at American Airlines for 25 years as a ticket agent. And he wrote in the mornings and at night. And he wrote his Pulitzer Prize winning plays while still showing up for work. And I remember as a 20-year-old listening to that guy and saying, there is no way that I
No win. Way. Right.
I'm going to be somebody who's going to pursue my creative visions, and I'm not going to have a day job. You know, at that time, it wasn't Uber or Lyft, but I was thought, I'm not going to be an Uber or Lyft driver.
Right. So
that 20-year-old inside of me was wrong. And I've had to juggle lots of stuff in my life to be able to say no to projects that would have been a sellout, to say no to projects that needed more time and needed more teamwork and putting things together in a certain way. I've been able to walk away from really sick projects and really, really sick people that I didn't, that I didn't want to work with, because I had the day job, the flexibility, the several things going at once.
Right.
And when people know that that's an okay way to be, and that it doesn't mean you failed. If some family member of yours or one of your parents says, you know, you really haven't made it yet because you still have to do that thing.
Right.
Part of you that says that, that's not true. You're just, you know, you're bringing in cash flow in the ways you're bringing it in, hopefully legal and healthy. Right. And then the other thing you're doing is you're making room so that you can negotiate from strength. One of my favorite clients, who's a screenwriter, she was able to start saying no to the wrong people and the wrong projects because her day job gave her that freedom.
Wow.
When she didn't have that freedom, every meeting became life or death on whether she's going to pay her rent. And so she had to make way too many compromises that didn't help her creativity and didn't help her career.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's perfectly put. And I like the way you spin it to your job really is going to help you, you know, decide what's more important here many times, but you also have to have that balance. You know, what is going to nourish you and, you know, define who you might be working with in a particular project that, or groups or whatever, that really might expend too much energy and take you away from, you know, your real purpose and productivity.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure you get a lot of offers and people reaching out to you, and you, with all that you've done and with all the wonderful advice that you give and all the different media, you know, opportunities you've had, you have to turn down a lot yourself, I'm sure, to make a decision as to what's going to serve you.
So can we do a 2-minute detour and I'll tell you a funny story that I've never told on public?
I love your stories. By the way, guys, Keeping Your Heart Open, please get this book. It's going to change your life. I'm serious. Really will help you out, especially in this time. And I want to hear the story. Sorry.
But when I first started out and my wife and I were living in a really cheap apartment that, that could barely afford the rent, and we were really struggling. I'd gotten nothing but rejection slips as a writer, and I was back in school to study to become a psychologist. And I got offered to co-author a book with a very famous talk show therapist. And I won't name her name, but she wasn't a feminist. She had read some Jungian book about Amazon women, and she was going to write some vicious book about how women should go back to being doting on men, and they shouldn't be Amazon strong women. And she really wanted me to co-author this book with her. I'm a feminist.
Wow.
And I was horrified by the topic of her book. I was horrified by the fact that she was wearing a house coat and she wanted to meet with me at midnight. And she said she wanted to do most of the writing between 1 and 4 in the morning. There was so much that was wrong with this project, but they were offering $400,000 to co-author this book.
Wow.
And
that's a tough one.
And I didn't have $400 to pay the rent. So I thought about it. I talked to my wife. I talked to some friends. And I talked to this one friend of mine who's a spiritual person, and we know each other. We'd done all sorts of, you know, stuff together.
Yeah.
She's Christian, and we'd done a Jewish Christian dialogue together where we got people talking about the differences in our religion.
Yeah.
And we were always really honest and real with each other.
Yeah.
So I said to her, I said, well, maybe I'm like Queen Esther in the Bible, who gets into this weird situation, but she has an impact on the other person and it changes the other person. And maybe this is my mission to somehow loosen up this person so she's not such an anti-feminist and she doesn't write this horrible book.
Wow. And my friend said to me, right.
And you also might be someone who lies to yourself sometime because the money's dangling. And there's no way you're going to change her. I've heard her on the radio. I know what she's like. And I think what you need to do is walk away and save your sanity. Thank you for being my
wow.
You know, and, wow. And I've thanked her yeah. 1,000 times since. So I did walk away and it was the right thing. And you know, that yes. particular person continued to be a bonkers person. I mean, she was just, you know, she was just this narcissistic, yeah. intense person. So that was one moment where I had to say, you know, I'm going to find a way to balance the money issues and the creative issues, but I have to be honest about how this yes. decision is playing out. And I hope people will be good wow. to themselves so that you can keep your heart open and you won't become a cynical, shut down, embittered person.
Yeah. I mean, that's a beautiful story and good for you. I am so proud of you. I've been offered some pretty cheesy things to do because I've studied body language for many years with anyway, some of the cheesy programs, you know, on is he, it's like the old, no offense, Maury Povich shows, you know, is he lying or did he cheat? You know, those kind of things. And I did one of those once, not Maury's, but one of those things. And I felt so bad. I was unable to give a definitive answer to this guy. I knew that he was really showing a lot of defensive and self-comforting moves, but I didn't want to humiliate this poor guy in front of his wife in the audience. And I just said, well, you know, I will never do this kind of thing again. This was so against, you know, my moral. It was just creepy, you know, some of the things, just in order to sell whatever. Yeah.
You had to take 30 showers afterwards. Just
thank you. Exactly. I was like, whoa, I came home and I was just gross. Anyway, but you're right. I mean, it's just, it's making a decision on what is best for you in your heart. So you can be settled within yourself afterwards. You can live with yourself, right. You know, and feel really comfortable. I also loved the story about Edward. That you remember Edward, how you helped him learn to balance his life and become a better spouse and a father. And that was a really good story. There's a lot of great stories in there.
Thanks. You know, because most men are being accused by their spouse or by their kids that he's only thinking about himself or his work and whatever. And most men that I've had in counseling, they really want to be good guys and they really want people to like them and to not be mad at them all the time. Sometimes they don't have the skills and they've been groomed to cut those people out and to say this is a waste of time and I've got to focus. Sure. And if you can teach a man how to really open up his heart and be present.
Right.
And I often say to male clients, I say, if you listen with impatience and if you say things like cut to the chase or get to the point, you'll start a fight that will last 2 to 4 weeks and you're going to be dragged into therapy.
Right.
You know, exactly. Couples counseling and you're going to be on
that's
the
right. That's I say, right.
But if you really listen, and you're really there and your heart's open, it might take 2 or 3 minutes and your partner or your kid feels connected with. Which would you rather have, the 2 or 3 minute peaceful version or the 2 or 3 week fighting version? Which one's more efficient, dude? You know, so men go, wow, I never thought of it in those terms. I guess, you know, if you don't act such a hard ass, you actually get quicker and better results.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. Beautifully said. And, you know, also it's, you know, I see this a lot in women too. And I know men are more, you know, let's just get straight to fixing the problem oriented. And, you know, we go all around with our feelings and our emotions and try to describe how we're experiencing the problem, you know, but, you know, it's God's cosmic joke, I call it. But it all balances out in the end, I guess. But I find this, you know, a lot with women too.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's difficult. It's very difficult. You know,
I have a different version of that one, which is I'm a Capricorn, and a Capricorn jumps from mountain crag to mountain crag and is happy with whatever they are. And my wife is a Libra, and she makes really good decisions, but she has to weigh it several times.
Right. I love that.
The number of on the other hands. So I know that I married her and fell in love with her because she makes good decisions and she really she really goes deep and really explores stuff. So when I'm starting to feel the impatience and starting to feel the, oh my God, I can't believe that she just got 20 more brochures for this vacation trip and we'd already decided where we're going tomorrow. You know, why is she looking at more brochures? And you know, so when we're having that fight, which we usually call that fight number one. That's the one we always have. You know, we can both step back and say,
that's funny.
This is just a Capricorn talking to a Libra and a Libra talking to a Capricorn. This is the humor in our relationship.
So
this is
a cosmic
joke. And when we have that humor or that spiritual perspective, you can say, okay, so what do we have to do now? We both have to breathe and realize we picked the partner who balances us. We shouldn't kill the partner who balances us. So.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's beautiful. I'm not going to tell you what sign I am because everybody doesn't like us. So I won't go there. I don't know.
Was that a clue?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll move on here. But I always, you know, if you're into that and you like to joke about it, and I don't know if it's a real science, but it's fun to talk about. Right. I always say, well, you have to look at my moon. I have a really good moon in Libra, and I have a really good, you know, like whatever, Saturn or whatever, you know, and the other signs. So you got to weigh in those as well. So, not that obnoxious of a Leo. Okay, I gave it away. So anyway, there's something that I wanted to talk about, and I know you experienced this probably with a lot of, you know, patience as well. Are those people that get burnout because they are people pleasers? They try to do everything for everyone. They're always busy. And, you know, you talk about, I think it's Harriet in the book, and she's this sweet, lovely woman who's a mom and she's working and she's juggling everything constantly. And how would you respond to helping people who are kind of that people pleaser or feel that they have to be there for everyone all the time? How can they help themselves during this stressful time?
Yeah, I wouldn't criticize someone for being a people pleaser. I wouldn't shame them for being a people pleaser. It's like, thank goodness there are people who care about people in our world, because they're becoming, you know, an endangered species, and they're fewer and fewer than there used to be. So I love the fact that I'm an empathic person, and I'm very, very, very happy about each empathic person I meet.
Yes.
But we empathic people are lousy sometimes at setting limits in a loving way. Like mostly we'll say, I'm fine. I can do it. Yes, I can show up. And then at a certain point we snap.
Yeah.
And we either non-verbally or verbally become kind of toxic because we're past our breaking point. So since I don't want to go past my breaking point and I don't want to become that toxic person, I have to practice, and then I ask people how they're going to use their words to practice the same thing. How do I say no in a loving way that still has a yes at the end of it?
Like, right.
My daughter, no, I can't drive you to the six things that you're asking me to drive you to this week, but I can drive you to two of them, and then we're going to be creative together to figure out how you're going to expand. My daughter's autistic, so how you're going to expand your fears to maybe take Lyft or Uber to go to some of the things. And I'll be supportive on the phone if you need some support when that's happening, and we'll make sure that it's a good person. You can walk away if it's not a good person. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll brainstorm together so that I can lovingly and participatingly say no and get some of my space back.
Yes.
So empathic people don't have to become tough, love, or mean. They just have to, you know, I care about you. I really want to say yes. With my daughter, I often say, oh, I wish I could say yes to that, but that would be stupid daddy. Stupid daddy would be saying yes to that. He'd burn out. Grumpy daddy. You don't want grumpy daddy.
Right.
What can we do so I don't get pushed to the point of grumpy daddy? Because we don't like grumpy daddy. He's ugly. So you know, you play together as teammates, loving, creative, resourceful people, rather than having to go to some tough love, cold-hearted thing that's not you. You'd look fake if you had to go to the tough love guy.
Sure, exactly. Beautifully said, you know, and it's lovingly, or I say drawing loving boundaries. You know, how can we best do that? And, you know, at the same time, like you said, have a very positive outcome in the answer to certain requests that people are giving us, you know, and not feeling guilty for not doing everything. I mean, that's another biggie is, you know, we have to not beat up on ourselves for not being everybody you know, helping everybody all the time. And that's a really important thing too.
And it's hard.
So that was, you have great stories, by the way, about your people.
It's hard because now there's so many more people that need our help and that, you know, are calling. I mean, there's all these people that my wife and I hear from all the time who are going through financial problems or going through health issues.
Yep.
And we want to help every one of them. You know, and sometimes
right.
we figure out, is there some way we can be helpful without doing something that that's going to make things awkward or uncomfortable between people? It's complicated.
Right.
But
right.
that's rich and interesting stuff to be talking about. It's different from saying, I'm going to just shut down
yes.
my heart. I'm going to close off altogether. It's I'm going
yeah.
to be creative and resourceful to figure out what are all the options besides the obvious option.
Right. Exact. Beautifully said. It really is. So I was just talking about a lot of people having a difficult time sharing with their loved ones, their families, and their friends, honestly, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, about now that we're all cooped up together, how can we lovingly and honestly tell them that perhaps they could pull back on some of these habits that may not be serving us or them particularly? How can we lovingly criticize our family or friends to point out certain things to them? And how can we learn how to take that criticism ourselves a little better?
Well, that's an excellent question. And it's really delicate. I mean, this is Taylor Swift delicate. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so one of the things you have to do is you have to ask yourself, am I plugged in? Am I overreacting? Am I about to go verbally abusive on this person? Because this is some old big issue of mine. I mean, you
yeah.
know, if you felt cooped up in your childhood family of origin, or if you got mistreated by some ex in that same way that this new person is mistreating you, you might need to do some inner work or some journaling or some working with a counselor or a friend to say,
yeah,
I don't want to vomit on this person.
yeah.
Two-way conversation. How do I get some of the yuck out of me before I even try to have this conversation? So if you do some of that inner work, then you can show up for the conversation and say, you know, we're both good people and we're both people who have a lot of good qualities, and anybody living together is going to get on each other's nerves. So
yeah.
I'm open to hearing some of the ways I get on your nerves and if there's anything I can do to improve on that. Are you open to hearing a couple of the ways that you've gotten on my nerves? And I think that we can come up with some way that we can reduce that tension so that we don't have to like become really shut down with each other or
right.
cut things off with each other or have this
yeah.
COVID experience ruin our long-term relationship.
Beautifully.
They might say, yes, I'm open. They might say, no, yes, I'm open, but not right this minute. Or
right.
they might say, no, I'm not open at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the invitation of, is this a good moment to talk? And is this a subject you want to talk about? At least starts the two-way, we're both people who are respecting each other conversation. And then when you're having the conversation, you can say, you know, clearly this is something that I'm worked up about and I might be a little bit neurotic about this. But since I am a little bit neurotic about this, let's bring that into the pot and,
right, right.
and see what we can do so that I don't have to get all edgy and all creepy about it.
Oh,
so
that's
your responsibility that this is one of your issues. If you're a person who has to have the dishwasher loaded in
yeah.
a certain way and
yeah.
people are loading the dishwasher in a different way and it's making you up at night. Just
right, like, right.
Then you can say to them, you know, on the subject of dishwasher, mm-hmm. I seem to be a little bit inflexible. I seem to be a little, you know,
yes.
intense. On the other hand, my OCD really helps me in these other
right,
areas, some
right.
of which you benefit from. So,
yeah.
so what can we do so that I don't have to have that same reaction every time I go into the kitchen and the dishwasher that way? Is there something that I need to lighten up, or is there some way that you can like placate me on this one? And I know, and I'm willing to trade you. I'm willing to say, I'll placate you on one of the things that you're uptight about, even if it's not my particular issue, and we'll make a trade. You know, we'll trade you
right.
Willie Mays for one Mickey Mantle card, you know? So,
yes, exactly. See, the way you put it is so beautiful and lovely. And, you know, everybody, you can learn how to keep your heart open, especially at this time in our lives. I'm going over here. There you are. Look at the book. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful read. Great stories about actual patients and, you know, the lessons that you all can learn about keeping yourself open and your heart loving and trying to be the best person you can be and not beating up on yourself, by the way, and how to overcome the things that make you numb, cynical, and conquer that burnout, which I think many of us are experiencing right now. Dr. Leonard Felder, it's about that time that we wrap up. So as always, Thank you for being with me on the couch here.
Good luck to you and your family, and stay well, and keep you know, being a bright light to people, because, you know, we need bright lights during this time, because it can get really intense out there.
Oh, well, thank you for being that person as well, and keep writing and inspiring us, and blessings to you and your family, Dr. Felder. Thank you so much. All right, everybody, that's it. Thanks for being on the couch. And as I always say, do take care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. All right. Bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.